All right. It's great to see you out there. And I can't see you out there, but it's great to see you out there that are watching online. And we have some regathering updates, and so we want to talk about that a little bit. Our first step has been, we told you we're taking baby steps. We're doing a little bit at a time. And our first step was people actually here in this, and we've kind of split the alphabet. Our next regathering step is taking place in two different ways. The first is simply this. Next Sunday, everybody can be here. All right. We are allowing anybody, no alphabet, nothing like that. You are welcome to be here. Now we will have, I'm telling you, we don't think this will be an issue, but we will have an overflow room set up in Fellowship Hall in case we get too many people here in our sanctuary. But that shouldn't be an issue. We should be fine. We think we've got enough space for everyone. So we want you to be here. Once again, there'll be no nursery, no life connection classes, nothing like that. So we want you to be aware of that. So bring your babies, bring your kiddos, let them cry through the service, and we'll cry with them, and so they don't feel alone, right? So we'll have, you know, it'll be a great thing. So, but seriously, we want everyone to be here starting next week, and so please do that. Now, I will tell you, as part of all that, the live stream is going to continue. We're going to keep having our full services online like we have been, and we're committed to doing that for the next few months, and so no problems there. Don't worry at all about that. Just come on out, and we'll be good there. So, deals with our adult Bible study on Wednesday nights. I do have an announcement to make about that. Now, notice this is just about adult Bible study on Wednesday nights. Okay, we're going to talk about why here in a minute on that. The adult Bible study on Wednesday nights is going to start up again, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. On June 10th, we will be having adult Bible study on Wednesday nights in Fellowship Hall. We're going to have social distancing in place, and so you're going to have to be sitting apart from each other, and it's just going to drive you crazy, right? And it's going to drive me crazy as well, too, but that's okay. But social distancing will be in place, and but we want you to be here for that. Once again, because there's not children's ministry, let me tell you why that is. It's impossible to have something called socially distanced children's ministry. Y'all, you just can't do that. It's just impossible. So at least while social distancing things are in effect, our Wednesday night is just going to be our adult Bible study. The teenagers, they're going to make their own announcements and talk to their own people. We don't even want to think about them. Who cares what they do, right? Oh, I'm just kidding. All the youth ministers are giving me dirty glares right now. Actually, they're all laughing going, that's accurate. You know, that's all right. But youth ministry, they'll be in touch with you guys about what your plan is, but children's ministry is not going to be meeting on Wednesday nights. And our teenagers have been meeting every Wednesday night. They've been meeting online, and they've been going through experiencing God, and it's been amazing. They've been meeting Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and what they've been doing is inspirational, and it's amazing. So be praying for them with all that. But once again, Wednesday nights are back, so you guys can stop pounding me and harassing me about Wednesday nights. They'll be back on June 10th, a week from Wednesday, there you go. Once again, though, because there's not children's ministry, if you've got kids and you want to be here on Wednesday night, bring your kids. It's fine. Bring them. It'll be okay. We'll be fine. If you need to bring your grandkids with you or something like that, it's all right. But that's what we're looking at. That's our latest thing in our regathering. So, well, I think I covered everything there. So without further ado, I know a lot of you last week, over the last few weeks, we've had all this, and now that we have people back in the room, I quit doing my meme of the week, and I stopped doing the This Week in Memes, and some of you really, really hated that. So at least for one more week, we're going to have my favorite memes that I saw this week that kind of just help talk about this day and age and this time. And the first one is just that we're only going to do four today, and this one I just threw in because I wanted to have at least four, but it's not that funny, but it's kind of funny. All right, now it's a little diagram of like a robotic pigeon. It says, the best theory so far, the government is making us quarantine so they can change the batteries of the pigeons. See, there you go. Yeah, they have little listening devices and cameras that are tracking your every move, which is ironic. I'm saying that while looking at a camera that's tracking my every move right here. And so, yeah. So the other one is just simply this. So the second one is this. So in retrospect, in 2015, not a single person got the answer right to where do you see yourself 5 years from now. That's pretty accurate, isn't it? So, and this third one that I want to show, it's a lady talking on a phone, and she's talking to her therapist on the phone, and the therapist is saying, you know, do you think the quarantine has changed you? And here's, it's me knitting a dress for the possum in my backyard. No. And I'm going to share my absolute favorite one. Here is my favorite one out of the entire what is this, 11 weeks of all this kind of stuff. My absolute favorite one is a Buc-ee's billboard, because it's saying that the entire planet, stay home. In Texas, there's a Buc-ee's billboard that says, risk it for the brisket. Oh, that's so great, y'all. That's so funny. And I've had their brisket. I'd risk it for the brisket. You know, it's not too bad. So it's not too bad. Honestly, it's one of these things. We've been starting a series that we've done the last few weeks that we're calling Life, God, and Other Small Topics. And the verse that has jumped out at me this week is simply this. It's Genesis 1:27. We're going to put it here on the screen so you can see it. It says, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be created in the image of God. And as fun as it is to laugh and risk it for the brisket and all those types of things, what we're going to talk about today is a little bit more serious. I know you guys are sick of hearing about racism. You're sick of it, because we watched in horror this week as we saw another man who was murdered in front of this video, in front of our very eyes, by a policeman who has his knee in his back and on his neck, and the guy can't breathe. As a result, there have been 3 different deaths over the last few months that have come to light that has just caused rioting, it has caused panic, it's caused all kinds of things all over this country. In the midst of our protest, and we've had some peaceful protests, and we've also had rioting. Probably the closest rioting that's been to us is just 3 hours away over in Dallas. They've had riots the last 2 nights and all kinds of things that are going on. And I keep coming back to this thought about what it means to be created in the image of God. And I keep coming back to this verse right here. You know, there was an article on CNN that they shared a while back called The New Threat, Racism Without Racists. And they talked about some stats and some things about racism that shows that we're a lot more racist than we actually kind of realize a lot of times. Did you know that babies, there's a guy named Howard Ross, he wrote a book called Everyday Bias, and he says that babies, Brendan, we need to leave that one open, please. Thank you. Yeah. Babies are as young as 3 months old. They start to prefer to be around people of their own race at 3 months old. Now, I want you to think about this. It's just because, if you think about that, it's because that's what the baby's used to, and then they see someone from another race, and it kind of throws them off. So I want you to catch this picture here for a minute. While every single person is created in the image of God, even babies at a young age begin to kind of go be drawn to their own race. And I kind of think that part of that is just about familiarity. And part of that is, frankly, I want to look at the research. And I don't know if this is for real or not. But he says it is. And I find it kind of a fascinating thing here. Now, some of the things that you can't talk about, that you can talk about, actual facts that you can say, there's a study conducted by a Brigham Young University economics professor. And he showed that white NBA referees called more fouls on black players, and black NBA referees called more fouls on white players. And that's what the facts actually showed. That it was something that they didn't even realize that they were doing. Right? Professors from the University of Chicago and MIT, they sent out 5,000 fictitious resumes that they made up to 1,300 help wanted ads. All right, you with me? Sent out 5,000 resumes, 1,300 help wanted ads. Each resume had identical qualifications except for one variation. Some of the applicants had very Caucasian sounding names and some had black sounding names. And here's what you actually found out. Those with the Anglo sounding names were 50% more likely to get a follow-up interview than those who had the black names with the exact same qualifications. I mean, if you had the name Michael or, you know, Steve, let's use the word Steve, you know, you had 50% more of a chance than getting a follow-up interview than a guy named Jamal. That speaks to our racial bias. That speaks to what we see here. And if you haven't noticed, I'm white. I'm a pasty white boy. I'm about as white as you can get, right? There's a good reason. There's a good reason you don't see me up here clapping during the service, right? Because, you know, I'm a white guy. I can't clap on the beat and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing that I want you to catch for a minute, that I am part of that, what they call the predominant culture privilege. I like how Matt Chandler said it one time. He said, I'm a white dude born to white parents living under the privilege of the dominant culture. And that's very much where we're at. Here in the United States, by 2045, the whites, the Caucasians, are expected to be in the minority for the first time. Now, it's not that there's one race that has the majority, but it's going to be that they're only 49% of the population is projected in 2045. Here in Texas, it's already about split. We're already less than 50% pasty white people like me. Back in 2017 here in Texas, Caucasians were 41.9% of the population. Hispanics were 39.4%. The black population was a little under 12%. They were about 11.8%. The Asian population was at 4.8%. And here's the thing that I want you to catch for a minute here. Every single one of them is created in the image of God. Every single one of them. It doesn't matter if you're a pasty white preacher in Texas or a little Ghana kid over in Ghana, a little black kid over there. I'm pointing at a Ghana missionary over here, so everyone's going, what's he doing? But it's all about being created in the image of God. And I'm going to do something kind of different today. As we're not calling this a sermon series because we're not preaching sermons, but the entire Bible is full of racial reconciliation. And it's full of what happens when you begin to see people as created in the image of God versus just see them through the cultural lens. When we first started this series, we talked about a fish that's over in Port Aransas with very brown water versus a fish off the coast of Mombasa, Kenya that was very blue water. And I asked you the question. I asked you the question this way, but I said, do you think those fish realize that they're looking at life through either brown water or blue water? And they don't. Here's what I want us to catch for a minute. Sometimes our own biases, our own things that we have deep down keep us from seeing people created in the image of God, and we shouldn't do that. And here's the thing. That's not about racial things. That's about everything. Every single person you see should be created in the image of God. So I want us to look at some scripture today. We're going to look at a lot of scripture, and we're not going to read all of this, but there's about 22 scriptures we're going to look at. And some of you are going to be asking me what those scriptures are. So they're going to be up on the screen for most of this sermon, and you're going to be able to see that. But the very first one is just simply this. We're created in the image of God, and I want us to see what it looks like in the Bible when we began to treat people that way, when we began to look at things that way. When we deal with racial reconciliation in the Bible, you don't have to go real far to see kind of what happens here. So we're going to look at some of these key passages that's talking about unity within diversity, our desire for God to bring everybody, for us to view everybody as part of the kingdom of God, as part of the image of God. And it's actually, you go to Genesis 3, where sin's going to enter the world. All of a sudden, there's disharmony, there's disease. All of a sudden, there's blaming each other. There's all of this stuff. And I want you to catch this picture. While everyone's created in the image of God, Genesis 3, sin enters in, and the picture changes. And the picture doesn't look the same after that. You actually fast forward to Genesis 11. The human race is multiplied, and the entire world now is basically speaking the same language. There's a group of people that decides to build a tower up into the heavens. We know it as the Tower of Babel. Remember this little story, right? Verse 4 says that they want to make a name for themselves, and they didn't want to be scattered over the earth, because that's actually what God had told them to do, be fruitful and multiply and spread. And instead, they're gathering together and going, can we just be this one little group of people? Can we all be alike? And so they're going to build this tower to kind of celebrate that. And you see in verse 7 of Genesis 11 that God confuses their language and he scatters them out over the face of the earth. And then the very next chapter in Genesis 12, God calls Abram and he makes a covenant with him. And he promises him in verse 3 that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. God made it clear that while he's calling the Israelites to himself, his plan was for the Israelites to be a light to the nations around them, to point them to God. Look at this in Psalm 67:3. You actually see it kind of illustrated there. We're going to put this on the screen. Verses 1 through 3 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And I want to stop here for a minute. This entire chapter, this entire Psalm, Psalm 67, is pretty amazing at this blueprint that God has for the Israelites to be a light to the other nations. I want you to see what verse 2 says there, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation, not just among us, not just among the Jewish people, the writers of Psalm 67, but among all nations. Verse 3 says, let all peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you, not just us, But help us to be a light. Help us to make your way known to them. Be a vessel for us to the people that aren't like us is the blueprint and the plan that you see. God is blessing Israel so that they can be a blessing to all the cultures and the people that aren't like them. You kind of catch the math here for a minute? God blesses Israel so that through Israel, he can bless everyone. That was the original picture. That was the blueprint. That's what was supposed to be going on. Because God cares about people with different ethnicities. He cared about Rahab. He cared about Ruth. He cared about the Ninevites. When you read the book of Jonah and you see just this incredible picture of God caring for all people, everyone. But unfortunately, for the most part, the Jews, rather than go, hey, God has given us this mandate, they kind of start patting themselves on the back and go, hey, we must be pretty great, right? So as a result, they get proud of their status, and instead of reaching out, they end up despising people that are different from them.